Nice to see you back in our next chapter of Christology. We dealt with person of Christ in our very first chapter. The second chapter deals with the life of Christ. Life of Christ. Jesus Christ was miraculously conceived in the Virgin Mary. As Matthew chapter 1 verse 18 explains, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Verse 20 emphasizes that she was not impregnant by a man, but that the child was from the Holy Spirit. Christ was born of a woman, Galatians chapter 4 verse 4. But rather being conceived by the union of a man and a woman, he was conceived by the power of Most High. That's what Luke chapter 1 verse 35 says. Thus, the person born was both divine and human. Unlike all human beings, after Adam, Jesus had no imputed guilt or inherited corruption. Now, the Bible does not say that the imputed guilt and inherited corruption came only from the Father. And we also know that Mary was sinful like the rest of humanity. Although the virgin conception testifies that he was no ordinary human being, by itself it was insufficient to protect the child from all contamination. Therefore, the sinlessness of Christ cannot be due to the virgin conception alone, but it was by God's sovereign decree that no guilt was imputed on Christ and that no corruption was inherited by him. The power of Most High did not only cause Christ conception without a human father, but also kept the child from both the legal guilt of Adam and corrupt nature resulting from his sin. This is so that the child may be rightly called the Holy One. Luke chapter 1 verse 35. Some people argue that Christ must have been subject to both error and sin simply by being a human person. Complete immunity to sin would mean that he was not genuinely human. The tendency is to make mistake and commit sin seems to be intrinsic to what it means to be human. Therefore, to say that Christ was human means that he was also prone to error and sin. If Christ was not subject to these shortcomings, he must not have been human. After all, these people claim to err in is human. However, this view forgets the fact that the entire human race exists in a depraved state that is different from the original condition of man. Adam and Eve were not created sinful, and yet they were fully human. This means that the sinfulness is not an essential human attribute. That a sinful state is a universal factor of human life prevents some from seeing that it is in fact abnormal. In other words, it is possible to be a human being without imputed guilt and inherited corruption. However, only Adam, Eve, and Jesus were born without sin. This relates to what Paul says about Christ as the last Adam or second man in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 45 and 47. The man, first man Adam, as a federal head, represented every member belonging to the group of people assigned to him in the mind of God, namely the human race. The second man Jesus was also a federal head and represented every member belonging to the group of people assigned to him in the mind of God, namely the elect. As for the ministry of Jesus, it was characterized by preaching, teaching, and healing. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. Even Matthew chapter 9 verse 35 says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. Luke chapter 4 verse 43 says, but he said, I must preach the good news of kingdom of God to the other town also, because that is why I was sent. His preaching and miracles has drawn increasing hostility from his enemies. After several years of ministry, he was betrayed by his disciple Judas into the hands of those who wished to kill him. After a time of severe and just treatment by the Jewish officials and Roman soldiers, he was sentenced to death through crucifixion by Pilate. Jesus died on the cross, and even his death testified to who he was. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus heard his cry and saw how he died, he said, surely this man was the Son of God. Mark chapter 15 verse 39. Jesus had a real human body, and his death was literal and physical. The gospel make it clear that he had in fact died. The soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first man who had been crucified with Jesus, and then those of the other. But when they came to Jesus, found that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. The Roman soldiers were well trained and doubtless had performed numerous crucifixions before this one. They could have easily determined whether their victims were dead or alive. When they found that Jesus was already dead, John chapter 19 verse 33 says, they saw no need to break his legs to quicken his death. But just to be certain, one of the soldiers ran a spear into his side, which brought a sudden flow of blood and water. John chapter 19 verse 34, proving his death from a medical standpoint. Just as the death of Christ was literal and physical, so was his resurrection. The Bible records that Christ rose from the dead on the third day of his death. He was raised with the same body that he had before, but it was changed and enhanced. Paul writes that Christians will also receive such a body when Jesus returns and raises the dead. So will it be the resurrection of dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 42. In any case, the resurrected or glorified body could still manifest the function in the physical realm. So that when Jesus appeared to his disciples, he said to them, look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see, a ghost does not have flesh and bones. As you see, I have. Luke chapter 24 verse 39. After his resurrection, Jesus appeared to his disciples numerous times over a period of 40 days, showing them many infallible proofs that he was alive. Then the Bible records that he was taken up into heaven and was given a position of authority by the Father. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. Acts chapter 1 verse 9. And the Lord Jesus has spoken to them. He was taken up into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God. Mark chapter 16 verse 19. So the life of Christ begins from the womb of Virgin Mary and ends for a human world history has to be with resurrection. But there he starts the new history. From there, a new chapter even start up. Jesus Christ was not just simply for the mankind in a theoretical form, but in a very practical form, to live a life successfully with all the humanitarian concern with the divine infully. So the life of Christ proves both in bodily form and in spirit form to be a perfect exemplary example for human beings. So nice to be with you in this class. As we close this chapter, I wish that the life of Christ may influence each one of you and me to impart the Christ-like being into us and through us to suffering others, into the human beings of the world. God bless you.